ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
जय राधा माधव कुञ्जबिहारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरीवर धारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरीवर धारी, किशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, 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 जमुना छेड़ा बनचारी, जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, किशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, 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 जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse number 20. 7:15:20. Narayanam namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Kamasyantam Hi Shut Tridbhyam Kamasyantam Hi Shut Tridbhyam Kamasyantam Hi Shut Tridbhyam Krotasyaitat Palodayat Krotasyaitat Palodayat Jano Yati Na Lobasya Jano Yati Na Lobasya Jitva Bhuktva Dasho Bhuvaha Jitva Bhuktva Dasho Bhuvaha Kamasyantam Hishutridhyam Krodasyaitad Palodayat Janoyati Nalobasya Jitva Bhuktva Dasho Bhuvaha Kamasya, of the desire for sense gratification, or the urgent needs of the body. Antam, end. He, indeed. Shutradbhyam, by one who is very hungry or thirsty. Krodasya, of anger. Etat, this. Pala Udayat, by venting chastisement and its reaction. Janaha, a person. Yati, crosses over. Na, not. Lobasya, greed. Jitva, conquering. Bhuktva, enjoying. Dishaha, all directions. Bhuvaha, of the globe. Translation. The strong bodily desires and needs of a person, disturbed by hunger and thirst, are certainly satisfied when he eats. Similarly, if one becomes very angry, that anger is satisfied by chastisement and its reaction. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has conquered all the directions of the world, or has enjoyed everything in the world, still, he will not be satisfied. Shall we say together? The strong bodily desires and needs of a person, disturbed by hunger and thirst, are certainly satisfied when he eats. Similarly, if one becomes very angry, that anger is satisfied by chastisement and its reaction. But as for greed, even if a greedy person has conquered all the directions of the world, or has enjoyed everything in the world, still, he will not be satisfied. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In Bhagavad Gita 3:37, it is stated that lust, anger, and greed are the causes of the conditioned soul's bondage in this material world. Kama esha krota esha rajoguna samudbhavaha. When strong, lusty desires for sense gratification are unfulfilled, one becomes angry. This anger can be satisfied when one chastises his enemy, but when there is an increase in loba or greed, which is the greatest enemy caused by rajoguna, the mode of passion, how can one advance in Krishna consciousness? If one is very greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness, this is a great boon. Tatra laulyam ekalam mulam. This is the best path available. There's so many verses that give us the overview of what is troubling about the material world. And by hearing them and then observing one's own behavior and the reactions to that behavior, one can, through knowledge and practice, refine one's activities, sadachara, which is one of the means we read about earlier. Pramanais tat sadacharais tadabhyasair nirantaram bodhayanatmanatmanam bhaktim apyutamam labhet. One comes to the highest stage of devotional service by scriptural evidence, sadachara, theistic conduct, and abhyas, perseverance in practice, these three things. And Prabhupada mentions in several places, but one lecture, he repeats the mantra, by knowledge and practice, one can attain many things or anything. And this information, given again and again in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, informs us of the results of anger, lust, and greed. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there are three gates to hell, and here they are, lust, anger, and greed, and one should therefore give them up. And he says also in the Bhagavad Gita, that shaknoti hai vya shodhum praksharira vimokshanat kama krodhod bhavambegam sa yukta sa suki nara. That if one is able to give them up before leaving this body, praksharira vimokshanat, then one becomes a, what is said in Japanese, a sukinara, a happy human. What a concept to actually become a happy human. And it's relatively simple, although maybe not so easy. Simplicity means that there are various urges and one has to develop the power to overcome them. And in this verse especially, it's mentioned that by understanding the reaction that one gets for certain activities, then one begins to act in a more sensitive way in this world. Because when we realize that, when I realize that I'm biting my own tongue, and therefore who can I blame? As said by Lord Krishna, by the Avanti Brahmana, whose story is being told by Lord Krishna to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, who found many different kinds of detractors after he renounced the world. People began to beat him and berate him and do all kinds of nasty things to him. Then he commented that when one bites one's own tongue, who can one blame? And thus he took full responsibility for all the reactions that were coming to him. And also one can realize by hearing the scripture and then observing one's own activities, when one becomes angry, one simply escalates the situation to a point, especially if one loses one's anger and is not using it for a definite spiritual purpose, which is a highly refined kind of practice and not recommended in the course of becoming angry and then saying, oh, by the way, that was spiritual. Better that one learn to master the process first and then apply it much, much later. As my mother used to tell me, first you get all A's, then you can criticize high school. So if one actually concentrates in this area of controlling the senses, especially lust, anger, and greed, then one gets the great prize of being a person who can fully fix one's mind, attention, and heart on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna says that if one does this, one becomes happy in this life and then becomes qualified for the higher practices in life. After all, Rupa Goswami begins his treatise on devotional service, which culminates in the highest kind of love for Krishna by saying, vacho vegam, just control your tongue. Manasa Krodha Vegam, control your mind. Jiva Vegam, control your tongue. He goes on to describe the various pushings of the senses and says that if you can control these things, then you'll become the spiritual master of the world. You become Jagat Guru, because the senses are the rulers of this world. Everyone's controlled by the senses. Even people with a lot of money and power, they're overcome by their senses. So what a great wealth it is to even know that there is a possibility of controlling the senses, and then to go about systematically controlling the senses. By this, one can actually please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and attain His mercy. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Raga Dvesha Vimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Atmavashera Vateyatma Prasadam Arigachati. That means that those who learn this art of controlling the senses, following the regulative principles of freedom, controlling the senses so that one rises to a level beyond the control of the senses, that such a person becomes serene and gets the mercy of the Lord. So it's a worthwhile process to learn to curb the urges of the senses by engaging in devotional service. Yes? Question already. My goodness.
Maharaj, in order to control your, control my language, then there is anger. You know, then anger is kept on building up inside, and if it's sustained for longer time, it disturbs you for a longer period of time. So, if I have to say something out of whatever that situation is, if you cannot say, then you keep mum. Then the longer time there's anger built in, long time. And it doesn't disappear. It might subdue it for some time. My only caveat to the question is, you know, during this whole conversation, whole exercise, we lose the valuable time because it doesn't go out. So what is the better way to deal with it? Because otherwise, in that, in controlling that efforts, the valuable time is lost. So,
well, first of all, I don't agree with your premise that it doesn't go out, because, and also that the way to control it is to simply remain mum, which means to not say anything. Although that may be helpful if you don't have something good to say, don't say it at all. But it's actually important to regulate the tongue in reciting the Vedas, like we did this morning. If you take an hour or two every day to recite the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahma Samhita, and so forth, then your tongue will be so satisfied that the anger does go away. It's like, what happened to it? It was here a minute ago. It just left. And therefore, it's highly recommended that to control the tongue, one of the austerities of the tongue is to regularly recite the Vedas. Take time every day, 5-6 hours, to repeat the holy name. I heard a teacher the other day, he was telling his students, it was on YouTube, he was a Sanskrit teacher, and he was saying, now you spend 6 hours a day, very soon you'll become expert. And I was thinking, you're darn right, 6 hours a day. So if someone's serious about controlling the urges of the senses, take this hearing and chanting seriously. And wasting time is something that one comes to realize as one gets a higher taste. This is one of the symptoms of an emotion, bhava, within the heart that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, of yarta kalatvam. One realizes, what a waste of time. I'm not going to get involved in this loop of anger because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to waste a lot of time. One wrong decision can end you up in jail for the rest of your life. What a waste of time that is. How much does that restrict your service? I mean, you could still do service in prison, but, you know, I wouldn't seek it out. And there is a way that one becomes sensitized by hearing, by knowledge and practice, to the fact that if I make wrong moves in this world, I can waste a lot of time. So the devotees are very careful about how they move in the world, especially how they speak, how they give in to the urges the senses, because there's a lot more behind that one can realize at first. It's just a simple urge, let me satisfy it, and then next thing you know, you're obligated somewhere, and you have to pay back, pay back, pay back. So, best is to get the knowledge ahead of time, inculcate into one's mind how rare the human form of life is, how short the time is, and who our enemies are. Krishna's saying, and Prabhupada's mentioning in the purport, Kama Esha Krodha Esha, here's your enemy. Now, fight the war. So, be well prepared. And then you can move through life in such a way that you can cheat death before death cheats you. So, yes.
I also just wanted to add, I observe Mukharvinda, and I give him a lot of opportunities to be angry. but I've noticed that when he gets angry, he immediately starts reciting the verses, you know, like on the spot, Shastra, like that kind of stuff.
So, good solution. Which verses? Hare Krishna mantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this should be our recourse. Kanka?
I just wanted to share with you that because we're humans, this is what works for me. Like if I'm feeling really angry about something, then I'll go in my car by myself and just scream and ask Krishna to help me. And that seems to dissipate it, because you get that out. You get that anger out. But you're doing it in a private way. Or go out in the woods and rah, you know. So then you get it out of your system and you ask Krishna to help you.
Thank you very much. Very helpful. So one more and then I'm going to move on, because I'm partway into this.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is a question. You said, by understanding the reactions, one start acting in more sensitive ways. So,
by understanding the reaction, then one
starts acting in more sensitive ways.
Yeah. Yeah. If one has knowledge and practice, then one does. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that is the key, because actually I was reminded of the verse in Bhagavatam. It says, "Gyat shrutabhyam yat papam." That verse. Jananapi. So even people who know the...
What is the verse?
Gyat shrutabhyam yat papam janan api atmano ahitam karoti bhuyo vivashaha prayaschitta athokatam. It's like it's the verse before that elephant bath verse. So I think, as you mentioned, those two things are important.
In the second chapter of the Bhagavatam, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janaya Shivairagyam Jnanam Chayarahaitukam. By performing devotional service, you get knowledge and detachment. That's what's necessary to control the senses. If you have knowledge, but you don't have detachment, you won't be able to control the senses, because you'll know what to do, but you can't do it. If you have detachment but no knowledge, you won't know how to apply that. But touch tradadhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya paschantya manichatmanam bhaktishuta grihitaya. You have to have both knowledge and detachment. And you also have to be thoughtful, says the verse. And if you're fortified with these things, then you can easily move forward in the path of devotional service. So again, it's important to chant good rounds. If you have a very... if you enunciate when you chant Hare Krishna, we just heard the other day that the demigods, by enunciating prayers, were able to call Krishna. When there was trouble in the universe, they went to Brahma, and they followed Brahma to the shore of the Milk Ocean, and he enunciated these special prayers, especially the Purusha Sukta. And because he enunciated them, Krishna took notice, and he arrived. So if you enunciate your rounds, then Krishna will take notice and he'll come to your rescue and he'll fortify you so that you can overcome these enemies. We can't do it alone, but we have to do it with Krishna's help. So chanting good rounds and also reciting one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day, don't leave the house without chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's foolhardy to try to face the world without finishing your japa, without finishing your chanting of Bhagavad Gita, which will fortify you, will protect you. When all the world is falling apart, you'll be calm and serene and know just what to do because of the fact that you enunciated your rounds and you chanted your one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And there is no other remedy for the difficult situations in life except for the transcendental sound vibration. So there's a very pointed instruction at the end of this chapter in which Prabhupada writes, if one is very greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness, this is a great boon. What's a great boon? If one is very greedy to enhance his Krishna consciousness. Just think about that. Can Krishna consciousness be enhanced? You can enhance it, right? And if you become greedy to enhance your Krishna consciousness, this is a great what? Boon. You want a great boon in your life?
Yes.
Everyone wants it. Give blessings. Everyone wants blessings. This is the blessing, to become greedy to enhance your Krishna consciousness in your life. So then Prabhupada finishes by saying, Tatra lalyam ekalambulam. This is the best path available. What's the best path available? Tata lalyam ekamulyam, the root cause, which is to become greedy to enhance your Krishna consciousness. That's allowed, that kind of greed. And so Krishna consciousness does not leave you bereft of an outlet. The real outlet is to use that same greed that we know of in the material world, but to transfer that to one's Krishna consciousness. Keshwari came all the way from the kitchen. We can tell from her cap. And no, leave it on. It's a sign. It's a warrior.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I was thinking about, you know, when you are angry or you're upset or you are, you just feel that you're right and somebody else is wrong. So I was remembering what Devamrita Maharaj just said on Wednesday. He was just mentioning that, I just need more Krishna consciousness. So that's the under part. But while I was always, if I get upset, I always think it's my ego or my mind that is making me run through for something that's really not necessary. So automatically when I sit down, think about it, I say, oh, these are thoughts from my mind. I just have to ignore it and keep doing it over and over again so that at some point I will try to perfect it. So I just wanted to add that, Prabhu.
Thank you very much for making the journey out here. That was worth it. So there's this greed that one can develop for enhancing one's Krishna consciousness. And when I was visiting Toronto recently, I was talking to a godbrother who has an encyclopedic mind. His name is Bhumna. Any subject you talk to him about, mention, he'll have a unlimited list of items to enhance the conversation from his studies and world travels and so forth. So when we were sitting, I think, at Prashadam, and I said, this really nice Prashadam, and he said, hunger is the best spice. And I wrote that down in my book, and I really like that statement, hunger is the best spice. And this is also the statement of the Shastra according to Krishna consciousness, that we should be hungry. Very hungry, like starving hungry. And if you're very, very hungry for Krishna consciousness, then all the processes become available to you. When you lose your hunger, then it doesn't matter how beautiful the process is or how available it is, you just won't take it. But if you can remain in a state of hunger to absorb Krishna consciousness, this is a kind of a greed, that when you're very hungry, any food you see, you just want to take it. And you eat with great gusto. So one of the processes, as Prabhupada says here, the best process is to become greedy. It means to become hungry for Krishna consciousness. So if one associates with people who are hungry for Krishna consciousness, this tendency will also rub off on us. When we associate with people who are very lax, for instance, do you notice I just sat up and everyone else sat up? I've noticed that when I'm in a room and then a speaker or somebody, we have our attention on the speaker, all of a sudden he or she sits up straight. Then everyone else goes, okay, I'm going to sit up straight also. And subtly, whenever we're near somebody who has that hunger for Krishna consciousness, then we imbibe it. When Devamrita Swami was staying at our house, and I put him in the kutir where I live, and so I go down there for various reasons, various times of the day, and whenever I'd go in, he would be, you know, there was always something, some transcendental sound vibration going on. It's like I came in and he was in there and there was a lecture of Prabhupada going. You know, it was like a surprise visit. And whenever I'd come in, the vibration was going strong. And that left an impression. As I was walking back up the steps into the house, I was thinking, ooh, nice. No time wasted, fully absorbed. And that gave me this impression. Let me be fully absorbed. If I associate with somebody who's taking liberties and, oh, you know, no problem, let's take a break, then I might develop that also. So one of the key methods for developing this kind of intensity in one's devotional service and a hunger is to find out those people who have it. Find somebody who has this intense hunger for Krishna consciousness. Agreed. It's apparent in them, because sometimes one can plateau in any practice and think, that's good enough. Like my Madanga teacher, Kinshana Krishna Prabhu says, as soon as you think that you're done, you're done. And in the practice of Krishna consciousness, if you think, oh yeah, I'm good now, I'm done, this is pretty good, then no more impetus. But greed and hunger means that you have to feel, I'm nowhere, I have to move forward, I have to get the next thing. Don't waste even a second. I heard an interview with a professional musician, plays for a symphony orchestra. She's a percussionist. She went to Juilliard, which is the topmost, one of the topmost music schools in America, and then she practiced. She was talking in the interview about how she would have such long practice sessions that when she was practicing on her snare drum, she said she began to see butterflies on the snare drum because she was hallucinating because she was playing for so many hours. And just by hearing that and hearing the intensity of somebody's practice, like, yes, we should practice like this. Chant your rounds until you start seeing butterflies coming out. Not that you wander around and look at butterflies, but there's an intensity to your chanting. And just by hearing of somebody else's practice or seeing somebody else's practice, one should imbibe this mood, this impetus. And it's fully allowed to give this kind of intensity to devotional service. Take this also from the Shastra, that the great sages and the pure devotees and the Shastra itself is saying, you're allowed to be intense when it comes to devotional service. Don't take the advice of relatives who are like, all right, Krishna consciousness is okay, but not like that. Why are you pushing yourself so much? Why be so intense and things like that? Of course, it's not that we become antisocial or inconsiderate in our surroundings and so forth, but we should have this mood of intensity wherever we go. And that may need to be renewed regularly to come up to the point. Never think, okay, now I've come to the point. But always be thinking, I haven't come to the point. This is greed. Because no matter how much money you get, as Devamrita Swami was explaining when we were at Stanford, he said that in social studies that have been done, there was a group of people who were interviewed, and to qualify for the interview, they had to have $1 million in liquid cash, not like a drink or something, but just like readily, you know, cash on hand, and they had $1 million in assets, and that was the minimum level starting from, because they were trying to see people's levels of satisfaction at certain levels of wealth. And then some of the people they interviewed had $10 million. And the man of the house said, how do you think my kids feel when they go a few blocks away and they associate with the family and they have $300 million? Think how demoralized that they feel, my children. And he was just explaining that one of the symptoms of greed is that at every level, one thinks it's not enough. And so transferring our greed to the spiritual realm, one can also compare oneself to those you think you have $10 million worth of advancement in devotional service. Find somebody who's got $300 million and associate with them, watch how they work, and think, oh, I have to come up to that level. This kind of greed, don't waste a second. And I, going back to the percussionist I was mentioning, was practicing, she said she would, when putting things in her locker, she was thinking, I must do this quickly because the 5 minutes I'm spending here, somebody else is practicing those extra 5 minutes. Because it's very competitive in the music field to try to get ahead. One must utilize every moment. And someone might think, well, this is fanaticism. Maybe on the material plane, but not on the spiritual plane. Avyarta kalatvam, this is a symptom of bhava, that I won't waste a second. How can I get an edge? How can I do things more quickly, more efficiently in my material life so that I can transfer it over? Because there's a race for time. There's no time. I have to hurry up. I don't want to waste it every second. So become greedy, this statement, become hungry and humble, or hungry and foolish. Remain hungry and foolish. So first thing is to develop this hunger for Krishna consciousness, lulliam, greed, intensity. And the second is recommended that one should remain foolish. And it doesn't mean to act like a fool. It doesn't mean to be do one's service in a poor manner. We'll look at Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita 7.71. And here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about how he remained foolish. Prabhu kahe, shuna sripad ihara karano. Guru more mukko dheki korila shashuno. The Lord said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakashananda Saraswati, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. Prabhupada's purport. When Prakashananda Saraswati inquired from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why he neither studied Vedanta nor performed meditation, Lord Chaitanya presented himself as a number one fool in order to indicate that the present age, Kali Yuga, is an age of fools and rascals in which it is not possible to obtain perfection simply by reading Vedanta philosophy and meditating. The Shastras strongly recommend Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. People in general in Kali Yuga are so fallen that it is not possible for them to obtain perfection simply by studying the Vedanta Sutra. One should therefore seriously take to the constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. 72. Murko tumi tomar nahika vedanta vedata dikar. Krishna mantra japo shada e mantra shar. You are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. Purport. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj comments in this connection, one can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts according to the words he hears from the mouth of his spiritual master. This acceptance of the words of the spiritual master is called Shrotavakya. What's it called? Which indicates that the disciple must carry out the spiritual master's instructions without deviation. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that a disciple must accept the words of his spiritual master as his life and soul. As his what? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here confirms this by saying that since his spiritual master ordered him only to chant the holy name of Krishna, he always chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to this direction, Krishna Mantra Japo Shada E Mantra Shar. Krishna is the origin of everything. Therefore, when a person is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that his relationship with Krishna has been fully confirmed. Isn't that nice? Fully confirmed. I'll read it again. Therefore, when a person is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that his relationship with Krishna has been fully confirmed. Lacking Krishna consciousness, one is only partially related with Krishna and is therefore not in his constitutional position. And that's a problem. When one has mixed devotional service or partial devotional service, then one is in an interim period where one's still feeling the pangs of material existence, although endeavoring to come to the higher stage. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of the entire universe, he nevertheless took the position of a disciple in order to teach by example how a devotee should strictly follow the orders of a spiritual master in executing the duty of always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One who is very much attracted to the study of Vedanta philosophy must take lessons from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this age, no one is actually competent to study Vedanta, and therefore it is better that one chant the holy name of the Lord, which is the essence of all Vedic knowledge, as Krishna himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita. Vedaischa sarver ahameva vedyo vedanta krid veda vedeva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. Only fools give up the service of the spiritual master and think themselves advanced in spiritual knowledge. In order to check such fools, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself presented the perfect example of how to be a disciple. A spiritual master knows very well how to engage each disciple in a particular duty, but if a disciple, thinking himself more advanced than his spiritual master, gives up his orders and acts independently, he checks his own spiritual progress. Every disciple must consider himself completely unaware of the science of Krishna and must always be ready to carry out the orders of the spiritual master to become competent in Krishna consciousness. A disciple should always remain a fool before his spiritual master. Therefore, sometimes pseudo-spiritualists accept a spiritual master who is not even fit to become a disciple because they want to keep him under their control. This is useless for spiritual realization. One who imperfectly knows Krishna consciousness cannot know Vedanta philosophy. A showy display of Vedanta study without Krishna consciousness is a feature of the external energy Maya. And as long as one is attracted by the inebrieties of this ever-changing material energy, he deviates from devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An actual follower of Vedanta philosophy is a devotee of Lord Krishna, who is the greatest of the great and maintainer of the entire universe. Unless one surpasses the field of activities in service to the limited, one cannot reach the unlimited. Unless one surpasses the field of activities in service to the limited, one cannot reach the unlimited. Knowledge of the unlimited is actually Brahmagyan, actual Brahmagyan, or knowledge of the Supreme. Those who are addicted to fruitive activities and speculative knowledge cannot understand the value of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which is always completely pure, eternally liberated, and full of spiritual bliss. One who has taken shelter of the holy name of the Lord, which is identical with the Lord, does not have to study Vedanta philosophy, for he has already completed all such study. One who is unfit to chant the holy name of Krishna, but thinks that the holy name is different from Krishna, and thus takes shelter of Vedanta study in order to understand him, must be considered a number one fool, as confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his personal behavior, and philosophical speculators who want to make Vedanta philosophy an academic career are also considered to be within the material energy. A person who always chants the holy name of the Lord, however, is already beyond the ocean of nescience, and thus a person born in a low family who engages in chanting the holy name of the Lord is considered to be beyond the study of Vedanta philosophy. In this connection, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.7 states, Aho bhata shva pachato gariyan yajiva grevartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvu sasna arya ramana churnama granantiyete. If a person born in a family of dog-eaters takes to the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, it is to be understood that in his previous life he must have executed all kinds of austerities and penances and performed all the Vedic yajnas. Another quotation states, Rigvedo tadyajurveda samavedo pyatarvanaha aritas tena yenoktam harir it yakshara dvayam. A person who chants the two syllables Hari, please say,
Hari,
has already studied the four Vedas, Sama, Rig, Yajur, Atharva. Taking advantage of these verses, there are some sahajyas who, taking everything very cheaply, consider themselves elevated Vaishnavas, but do not care even to touch the Vedanta Sutra or Vedanta philosophy. A real Vaishnava should, however, study Vedanta philosophy, but if after studying Vedanta, one does not adopt the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, he is no better than a Mayavadi. Therefore, one should not be a Mayavadi, yet one should not be unaware of the subject matter of Vedanta philosophy. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his knowledge of Vedanta in his discourses with Prakashananda Saraswati. Thus, it is to be understood that a Vaishnava should be completely conversant with Vedanta philosophy, yet he should not think that studying Vedanta is all in all, and therefore be unattached to the chanting of the holy name. A devotee must know the importance of simultaneously understanding Vedanta philosophy and chanting the holy names. If by studying Vedanta one becomes an impersonalist, he has not been able to understand Vedanta. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.15. Vedanta means the end of knowledge. The ultimate end of knowledge is knowledge of Krishna, who is identical with his holy name. Cheap Vaishnavas, Sahajyas, do not care to study the Vedanta philosophy as commented upon by the four Acharyas. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, there is a Vedanta commentary called Govinda Bhashya, but the Sahajyas consider such commentaries to be untouchable philosophical speculation, and they consider the Acharyas to be mixed devotees. Thus, they clear their way to hell. And the word murka, meaning fool, is important in the practice of devotional service. Not only should one be hungry, but one should keep oneself foolish. And that means to consider that I'm a beginner. And therefore, I take very seriously what I get from my spiritual master. And I don't try to second guess what the spiritual master is saying, but I clarify it. And I take it as my life and soul and keep on the simple path without speculating. And just by following very carefully, as Prabhupada acclaimed, any of my success that has come miraculously has been a result of my carefully following the order of my spiritual master. In fact, sometimes he said, I simply follow blindly what he has told me, and I do not know what the result is. Not to be overly intelligent, but simply accept as if I don't know anything, the process. There's a way in which when Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who are highly learned, came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they claimed themselves to be the most fallen and bereft of any knowledge, saying, I don't even know who I am. Please tell me, starting from that position. This means to keep oneself murka or foolish. And I'm going to run one more verse in purport because they go in a series. Next is 73. Krishna mantra hoy haite habe shangshara mochana Krishna nam hoite pabe Krishnara charano. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport in his Anubhasha, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami says that the actual effect that will be visible as soon as one achieves transcendental knowledge is that he will immediately become free from the clutches of Maya and fully engage in the service of the Lord. Unless one serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda, one cannot become free from fruitive activities under the external energy. However, when one chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly, one can realize a transcendental position that is completely aloof from the material conception of life. Rendering service to the Lord, a devotee relates to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one of five relationships, namely Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, or Madhurya, and thus he relishes transcendental bliss in that relationship. Such a relationship certainly transcends the body and mind. When one realizes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Supreme Person, he becomes completely eligible to chant the holy name of the Lord. Such an ecstatic chanter and dancer must be considered to have a direct relationship with the Lord. Before I go much further, I just want to take a few reflections. So, two points to take away are that one should develop a hunger or a greed for devotional service. And one can also judge one's advancement in devotional service by how greedy one's becoming to enhance one's devotional service. And the second is that one should remain a fool before one's superiors in Krishna consciousness, especially the spiritual master, and consider oneself a beginner, open to all suggestion, and taking in that suggestion with heart and soul, holding on to it, even if it doesn't seem to be intellectually perfect at first, one should embrace it and take it to advance in devotional service. And now a few reflections. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a vibrant morning, starting with recitations. You mentioned in the beginning that simplicity means...
That could be the name of a newsletter, the Vibrant Volley. Okay, go ahead.
Simplicity means developing the power to overcome various urges we might have, including the three gates to hell, lust, anger, and greed. Also, you mentioned that one should try to always think, how can I enhance my Krishna consciousness? And it's good to know we have all read the Vedas because we can chant the two syllables, Hari.
Yeah, and one can be internally aware of one's own ability to overcome the influence of the urges of the senses. Since Rupa Goswami begins with this, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, this is one way to internally cultivate Krishna consciousness, is to observe oneself. So after all, we have to live with ourselves, and no one else is responsible for our success or failure, ultimately. As Prabhupada mentions in a famous purport, when you learn to fly an airplane, eventually you have to fly solo. And so it helps if one is self-observant and see and honest with oneself, to what level am I able to apply these principles? How much spiritual strength am I getting? And it's good to experiment also and see what the difference is if you enhance your hearing and chanting. Try it and see. If you increase your hearing and chanting, the intensity of your rounds means how much attention you're giving, how much you enunciate. And if you increase your reading and hearing during the day, just see, make a notation of what difference it makes internally in your ability to face the world without being overcome by the various enemies like lust, anger, and greed. And this can be greatly encouraging because you see, oh, there's a direct relationship. If I take my medicine, then I actually have the strength. Sometimes people who have mental disorders are given medicine. They say, if you take this, then you'll feel balanced. But the problem is they don't take it. And then there's this cycle of them becoming ill again. And in the way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expresses through Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Anechiya Shodi Maya Nashi Paralagi. Harinama Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. He said, this, I brought the medicine. You should really be begging for this, he says. You should be begging to take this medicine, and then you'll be cured, and you'll know it for yourself. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the lecture. A couple of things that I was able to relate was about lust and anger. Chapter 3, right, Krishna says, I'm the origin of everything. So in that sense, he also mentions, if you direct the lust and anger towards me, everything becomes spiritualized. And two things...
Where's that? In chapter 3?
Yeah.
So the Bhagavad Gita?
Yes. He says, I'm the origin of everything in one of the verses. So
that's... maybe you're thinking... is there a verse like that in the third chapter? I'm thinking 10th chapter, in the purport.
I think, yeah, he's...
10th chapter, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattak sarvam pravartade iti matvapajanti mam buddhava. I'm the source of everything, material and spiritual world.
So in that sense, I was thinking even he's the source of lust and anger, but if he can direct towards these towards him, right, they become spiritualized. So
yeah, one, 7th chapter of Gita, Krishna says, kamusmi paratar shabha. I'm lust, which is directed towards Krishna, producing Krishna. Dharma virodo bhuteshu, yes. Yeah. That I'm the lust that is according to dharma.
Yeah.
Can be directed in that way.
So one particular way I was able to relate is if you look at Ramayana, right, Ravana, so like Hanuman, right, when he burns the Lanka, he basically is displaying his wrath and anger, but for the Lord, and then he becomes the greatest devotee of the Lord. Similarly, Arjuna also, right? He's saying, Krishna is saying, yeah, show me your anger in slaying the enemy, right? Something like that. So it's towards the Supreme.
Yeah, those examples are given regularly, that Hanuman and Arjuna. And also, as I mentioned earlier, one should be careful about becoming angry and then saying, that was just like Hanuman. Or, I'm just like Arjuna, became angry. First, become expert in controlling your anger. And once one's expert at controlling anger, then one will know how to direct anger in a Krishna conscious way. Not that.
Thank you.
There's a story of Gopala Ban. He was a rascal. His friends asked, why don't you ever offer anything to Krishna? You never do any sacrifice. And he was carrying a big tray of grains, and the wind came along and blew it away. And he goes, I offer that to Krishna. Don't offer something that's incidental, that was being taken anyway, or you've lost your... Prabhupada used to correct devotees when they would do something foolish, and then they say, oh, it's Krishna's mercy. He'd say, not Krishna's mercy, it's your foolishness that you made the mistake. Thank you for your points. Very nice. Yes. Who was next?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Wonderful class. And very glad to be here. I really like the point of becoming greedy in Krishna consciousness. And what I think is, we need to be greedy now. Because if we don't become greedy now, then I might think that I have about 30, 25, 30 years left. You know, I can do later on something like that. But the point is that probably after 10 years, you know, one by one, all my senses will be taken away, you know. I can have glasses, I can lose sense of hearing, all the senses will slowly go away before you die. So we need to think about that, and we need to become greedy right now. Thank you.
Yes, this point about realizing that the temporary nature of this world tends to give one this feeling of urgency. There's when Tamal Krishna Maharaj left the world, his family members said, from now on, when anybody leaves the house, we always say, I love you, because we didn't have that chance. He walked away the last time, and then we just thought, he'll be right back, but he wasn't. And there's the way in which I can take many things for granted, that everything's just going to go on. But if one can be in a heightened state of realization, kamala dalojala jivana talamala, that I can slip off at any second. There's an old saying that treat every moment as your last. And that, not that, yeah, treat every moment as your last, or see every day as your last opportunity. And compartmentalize each day as the most important. And if you can do that without becoming pathological or something, keep it contained, but keep that awareness alive so that you can have that intensity in devotional service. It's not artificial, it's actually a fact. Yes, Aditya.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. I like the point when you said that hunger is the best spice, and the way to so this lolium agreed one needs to develop within himself to advance in Krishna consciousness. And he also mentioned the way to attain that is to associate, find out those who have the greed and to associate with them.
Yes, thank you very much. Let's look at Adi Leela 883. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oops. Well, maybe it's Madhyalila. Oh, no, it's not. Here it is. This is what I was looking at. Murka nicha shudra mui vishaya lala lalasa Vaishnava vagya vale kari etika sahasa. This is the words of Kaviraj Goswami near the end of this chapter called The Author Receives the Orders of Krishna and Guru, because we were talking about receiving the order of Guru. I am foolish, low-born, and insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment, yet by the order of the Vaishnavas, I am greatly enthusiastic to write this transcendental literature. So he mentions himself as being foolish, very low-born, very insignificant, and always desiring material enjoyment. What are the four things? Foolish. So someone asks you today, how are you doing? You'll say, foolish, low-born, insignificant. keeping that in mind, one's helpless condition, as do the great acharyas, one can feel this kind of hunger for devotional service and necessity. There's a way in which if one feels starved and the mercy of Krishna is necessary to maintain one's life, then one can very quickly advance in devotional service. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the super excellent class. There is filled with so many instructions, and one of the main thing that you focus on how the sense control is the great wealth. And also one of the practical examples you given this reciting the Vedas, and that is that I like. And the second point about the holy name in the last purport is so many places is mentioned holy name is identical with Krishna, and is to develop that realizations is a great success in the life. And last thing I wanted to tell about the association, you were mentioning how the greedy, we develop association. So we are in the Bhakti Vaibhav classes, and then we have the best homeworks after each class. And somehow I'm very lazy and I don't do, but, and I try to do, but it was like very irregular. But I see Shraddha Mataji says...
You just say, I'm fool, I'm very foolish.
I'm fool, I'm insignificant, I'm low-born, and I'm not, I'm always desiring material association. So So I see that Sadha Madhi, after each class, she decided she makes sure that even she gets 5 minutes, she will complete the homework and make sure that before the next class is done. So after that, I get a little bit inspiration. Okay, she is so busy and she is able to do, why not I can do? So that's association's effects I was telling.
Yeah, that's why we have this Sangha. Thank you very much. 5 points you made. That's called greed.
Two key takeaways for me from today's class is no one is responsible for your failure or success. I think this is the key. And then, of course, the bigger one, which is do not waste even a second. I need to meditate more and more on that part. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes.
I like the point, like, if you don't have anything good to say, you should not say it at all, because sometimes in the spur of moment we say something and then we repent later on that why did we say that, and we go back and say sorry, and then we like waste our time in all that process. So it's better not to say and remain calm in that moment.
Words of wisdom, thank you very much. That was very helpful. Just, it's such a simple thing, but it can make such a huge difference in the result of one's life. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class today. For me, my take-home point was no matter what, we have to chant intensely, and even if you're busy or whatever happens, just have to chant. So that's my take-home point.
Yeah, we have to keep our priorities straight. It's one of the most important aspects of advancing over a long period of time. Is make sure your daily priorities are in order, because if you start to skip out on your daily priorities, then it adds up into a week, then a month, then a year, and you can really lose a lot of time. But if you just keep your priorities straight and do your basics every day to make sure that you're keeping the most important things first, which are good rounds and hearing from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. You have to have that to fortify yourself. Otherwise, we're no match for the material energy. And if you feel yourself unsatisfied or tempted by material enjoyment, then try increasing your intensity. Chant more, chant with more attention, and read more. Just increase it. Take more medicine. And you'll see that actually it works. Nhe ashaudi maya nashi bharo lagi. Mahaprabhu says, I brought you the medicine, so I'm not taking enough. I'm not taking it regularly enough. Thank you. Yes?
Because we were talking about sense control, so I was remembering one verse you quote often here. Bhukti mukti, what is Siddhi kami shakole ashanto, Krishna bhakto nishkam atoeva shanto. So I just remembered because you usually say that, you know, the devotees, they don't have any desires, and so they are peaceful.
It's such an interesting formula, isn't it? That if you surrender to Krishna and you make his agenda your agenda, rather than thinking, I have to get something for myself, bhukti, material enjoyment, but you just leave it to Krishna and say, Krishna, I'm just your part and parcel, therefore whatever kind of facility you give me for sense enjoyment, I'll accept that, because I am only interested in your service, and whatever facility you give me for your service, I'll use that, and whatever way you'll reveal yourself, I'll simply stick to the path of bhakti. I won't try for independently to understand you, but I'll simply serve you and do what the Goswamis and the great acharyas have recommended. And if one gives oneself to that internally and practices in that way, then one becomes the most wealthy person and becomes fully satisfied. But anyone else who's trying independently to enjoy themselves in the material world or to try to discover the absolute truth through speculation becomes agitated one way or the other. So it's the great secret of life to surrender to Krishna, and that is a full-time occupation. If one takes that as one's full-time occupation, then in all the aspects of my life, I'll figure out ways to surrender to Krishna by accepting those things that are favorable, rejecting things that are unfavorable, What an exciting day, the day you actually reject something that's unfavorable. You eliminate it from your life. That thing's unfavorable, and it's been hanging around for a long time, and you finally get the strength by hearing and chanting and good association to say, you're out. And then you can dance. You can do a Bollywood dance if you like. Because you're so happy. I mean, that's great wealth. It's actually, you become jubilant because you kicked out a material desire. It's no more, you can't stay in my house. If somebody, a python comes in one's house or a cobra slips in, he's like, yeah, it's no big deal. He's hanging around somewhere. No, you turn over every couch and look everywhere. It's like, you can't stay here. I know you're a living entity, but please go out. So similarly, if I allow any material desires to stay in my heart, I know they're there and I let them hang out. And it's another thing to be overwhelmed and think, like, how am I going to do it? But it can be done, and that's what's the process of bhakti is so powerful. And they say, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know how to do it, but at least put it in Krishna's hands and say, I want to do it. I want to remove these things. Then a Krishna bhakti, what is it? Sakali?
Krishna bhakta
nishkam. Sakali, no. Atayava shanta bhukti mukti siddhi kami shakali oshanto. That only the Krishna bhakta is completely peaceful because he or she has this mood of just surrender to Krishna, leave it in Krishna's hands, and everybody else is not peaceful. So if there's a feeling of unrest in one's heart, one can look to this verse and see, why aren't I peaceful? It's because I'm not actively involved in the surrender process. Anything else? Yes. Oh, yes. Hansapriya.
I like the point you mentioned that when you walk down to your kutir and you saw Devamrita Maharaj was hearing a lecture and it caught your attention and you said, nice, he's not wasting time. And I was just wondering, that also kind of reinforces us also that we want to hear and chant, but it just kind of also kind of said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be listening. I'm not going to be wasting my time. So it kind of just puts also the awakening seed in your heart. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's partly the purport to that verse, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. There's a way in which sometimes we apply that to the beginning of Krishna consciousness, that I saw somebody, I became. But as we continue, you can rectify your Krishna consciousness in 1 second. You see somebody who's applied the process of surrender to their life more than you have. And you see them for 1 second, and then 1 second, and you notice it, and Super Soul says, yep, that's it. They're more surrendered than you are. Then you go like, okay, I'm going to surrender now. You become inspired. Recently, I was somewhere, there was a initiation ceremony, and someone came back and was just saying, oh, I want to renew my vows now, because they attended the initiation. When you see new people come into Krishna consciousness, and they're more enthusiastic than you are, you should take it. Remain a fool. Don't think I'm an expert. Expert mind thinks I'm good. But the foolish mind, the person who's always remaining hungry and humble, takes it from new people. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the temple of Lord Jagannath would stand back by Garuda Stambha. And one day in the crowd, some woman came and climbed up Garuda Stambha and used his shoulder as one of the places to put her foot. So she could see Lord Jagannath. And Govinda go, get down, get down, get down, what are you doing? And Mahaprabhu then broke his trance and looked and saw what was happening. And he chastised Govinda. Said, Govinda, you're an uncivilized person. If I had that much enthusiasm to see Lord Jagannath, then I would consider myself fortunate. He took that from the environment. And that's how we should also see, not just there is an advanced person, but we could see it even in a neophyte, even people we meet on the street that we're distributing books, and we can see some enthusiasm. Oh, this is something I've been looking for my whole life. Like, oh, why aren't I still feeling like that? Go back to beginner's mind and start over again. Be a fool. And don't be afraid to be a beginner again. That's where all the advancement is. And when we block our advancement by becoming experts, then we plateau in devotional service. Akuranath Prabhu. By the way, the conquering hero coming back has, there was a case against, we lost some money unnecessarily because the government took some property tax that they didn't deserve in the beginning. But Akuranath, over the last 3 years, has diligently been finding strategies, ways to get it back, and he handed it over to a team of law students at Stanford who won the case and reported to us yesterday. So.
Hare Krishna.
You look, looking at a winner back there.
All credit goes to the students at Stanford and their supervisor, Jim Sunny.
I'm foolish, insignificant.
I'm, yes, and always desiring material enjoyment. I liked the description of how the demigods, to communicate with Krishna, they went to Lord Brahma and he enunciated prayers, and also that Lord Chaitanya said that by the effect of chanting Hare Krishna is that we will directly see the lotus feet of Krishna.
Yeah, that's just so relatable. Someone said that in a class the other day. I think it was in Toronto. Said, that was very relatable, that point. And it has to be relatable. If we can find relatable points and we say, yes, the demigods did it, it's a simple thing. It's very simple. That's part of the message in this, that take the simple thing and apply it strictly. Yes.
Sorry, I'm just taking because it's a simple
this
point.
This is sheer greed here.
I'm just sharing this simple point because it goes with what we talk about, being humble and hungry. And I'm shy to say this, but I get so much of this from one of the devotees that I'm staying with. Her name is Nadia, and she has a good friend, Victoria. And they're so humble and so hungry. They don't have anything. They have very little. But they give everything out to go get the devotees association, to reach out to the people in the community, bring them prasadam, bring them a garlands, bring them a nice quality prasadam. Even though they don't have the car, they go in the bikes and they walk groceries, carries around, and they do it. And I just wanted to share with the community that those simple things are around us also. So we're very fortunate to have that, the community around.
Yeah, it's such a nice point. I was thinking also about how there's a phenomena in America where immigrants come to America with not the same kind of educational background and things, but they make big success, like in business, because they come in hungry and humble. Whereas somebody else, they lose that edge. The edge is being hungry and humble, and oftentimes people have been around in America and they have a sense of entitlement. They think, oh, who are these immigrants making so much money and everything like that? It's like, well, try a little harder. There's this edge that people get when they sense that they have a great opportunity, and they'll do anything they can. So we're lucky to have an influx of these devotees who come in with this intense desire. We can learn from them every day. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My takeaway point is actually a graph that you mentioned.
Basically. We got a graph out of it.
So, to understand how advanced we become in Krishna consciousness, we have to measure how greedy we become. And I really like that
point.
Can
we see the graph? So how does it go? Oh, is this a line that goes up like that? The X and Y axis. Thank you very much. To see how greedy we are in Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just to resonate that same point, Maharaj, that looking at the newcomers, you develop the enthusiasm again. It kind of reminded me many of the companies in IT. One of their successful formulas is that they recruit many new, fresher people because they think they have new ideas, they have enthusiasm. And those are the companies who are really doing good. Like, so Just wanted to say that even works in the material realm, yeah. Actually.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he saw that adherence to the order of the spiritual master and spiritual greed, he would acknowledge it. For instance, in South India, he saw a Brahmin who was illiterate, who had been given the instruction by his spiritual master to read the whole Bhagavad Gita every day. And the Brahmin would sit there and read the whole Gita, and people were laughing at him. And he noticed, Mahaprabhu did, that the Brahmin was crying. And he said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "My spiritual master told me to do this. And even though I'm not very expert at it, I think about Krishna while I'm doing this, and I feel great emotion." And in that context, Srila Prabhupada gives the verse, "Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmana." To those who have implicit faith in the order of the spiritual master and in Krishna, then one can understand the import of the Vedic teachings very quickly. And to know that this is the secret to life and adhere to that very carefully, depending on Krishna and the order that comes to one through the disciplic succession, is a great secret in life. And it's a very simple thing, but we have to increase our desire to follow, and we also have to increase our hearing and chanting. That's the real secret in life, is to take the medicine thoroughly and make sure you keep taking more and more dosage. Become like addicted to the medicine, and let it become a major part of your life every single day, and then notice the difference in how you overcome lust, anger, greed, and other kinds of emotions. We have two last ones, and then we got to go. Three, and then we got to go. Four, and then we got to go. Okay, quick. Let's go.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. I like the point where you said that we have to be very, very careful when dealing with outside world, because a single misstep can cause a lot of waste of time. So I remember I get this argument in the company where, you know, it causes me a lot of distress and a lot of waste of time. So it's I can actually avoid it. So I take that point, actually.
Yeah, I read recently, Prabhupada said, Vaishnavas are not argumentative. No need to develop an argumentative attitude. This is two, then three, then four.
Thank you for sharing your mother's the statement, until unless you get all great A grades, don't criticize the high school. That's like a very big import is there in that statement. And also, in the same, Ramrati Prabhu was telling yesterday, one of my senior director, he was mentioning his, like, he is like a very, like, graduated from a PhD from a very, very well-known university in East Coast. And then after 14 years, he went to meet his guide who has given him PhD thesis. And so he went and he told that the first question his guide asked him, okay, tell me what you learned in your 14 year of Intel career, whatever company's career, and in 14 years what you learned. So he told that I was just deeply humbled. Here is a person who has given me the PhD degree, because he was his guide, and his first question when he meet, he's asking that, okay, how can, tell me what you learned in all your 14 years. So he was trying to leverage, and he was telling how is learning and humble and police, even in the material circle, is those are really successful, they learn.
Yeah, and Prabhupada mentioned how the spiritual master sees those who come in the role of disciples actually being sent by his spiritual master to come and help enliven and help fulfill the order of his spiritual master, at the same time teach basic lessons. Okay, three and then four on the internet. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for the wonderful lecture. One key takeaway point for me is whenever there's a temptation throughout the day or any distraction, increase chanting and reading, and we'll find the difference. But one particular problem I face with trying to read more, and I'm looking for a solution from you, is while trying, I usually try to meditate on, while reading, I meditate on every verse that I read, but usually the mind goes into distraction zone, and the specific distraction I face is, before even I absorb the point, I try to phrase it in my own words and examples in the attempt of trying to share it with others. But that disturbs the humble mood as well as It takes away valuable time.
So keep a pen and paper next to you or somewhere to write things down. And when you get a point like that, just jot it down and move on. And then come back to it and you can fully explore it later. That's an easier way to do it. So you can make a notation and then come in and fully explore the metaphor, whatever way you wanted to present it later. But it's not such a bad distraction. There are worse things in life. Thank you very much.
This is from Gandharvika Mataji, an observation from her. She says that this was regards to you talking about chanting. So I just want to add how we have done all other activities like eating, sleeping, defending, etc. in all of our previous lives. And the only thing that distinguishes us from previous animalistic life is chanting. And so focusing on the activity as topmost priority help us to end the endless cycles of suffering.
In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions that most of the species we run into have tongues. Well, many of them. I don't know about most. But do chickens have tongues? Do they? Yeah. Thank you. Jamuna, you've lived on a farm. You know these things. Snakes?
Yes.
How about a possum?
Yes.
Raccoons?
Yes.
Cats?
Yes.
Dogs?
Yes.
And he mentions that all these species have tongues, but they can't say Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. But the human being can say Hare Krishna. Say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So it said, take advantage. Mark Twain once said, the person who doesn't read books is no different than the person who doesn't have access to books. So if we have the human form of life, if we don't use it to take up Krishna consciousness, then the Shastra says, you're no better than an animal. I mean, animals are nice, but they don't have any religion. I noticed they know everything about everything, animals. They're really smart and very conscious. They know when you're coming, they know when you're nice, they know when you're mean, everything. It's just they can't chant japa. So chant japa and enunciate the prayers, and then you actually ascend. You go back to home, back to Godhead. And animals, they can listen to you and take advantage of it. That's true. But he mentions in the song Parama Karuna that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made animals chant in the forest of Jarikanda. He said, we may not be so potent to make them chant. A dog chanted in the presence of Mahaprabhu. But Prabhupada said, at least we can get the human beings to chant. But I did recommend, you know, you could try. I mean, there's a cat that comes in my backyard and he's like, Hare Krishna. But not yet. Coming alone. I'll let you know when it happens. Vancha Gopadarisha Kripasnabe Vacha Patitanam Pavanebyo Vaishnavebyo Namo Namaha. I'm sorry, Shraddha, there was somebody else online. Who is that? Oh, Hari Vamsha, okay, go ahead.
So Hari Vamsha Prabhu has this question that I once heard in a lecture given by His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj that there's a difference between foolishness and ascribing some outcome to our karma, or as Krishna's mercy, as you mentioned in the story of Bharan. For example, I've been warned not to enter an epidemic-ridden place. Still, if I go and fall sick, I think it is my foolishness, not karma or Krishna's mercy. Can you please elaborate on this? Next.
I didn't quite get the question, I'm sorry.
So basically he's asking the difference between foolishness, doing something foolish, and ascribing it to be the outcome of our karma or Krishna's mercy.
I see. Difference between foolishness and ascribing something to...
Ascribing the result of our creation.
Occur in Earth, Prabhu.
Previously today you mentioned that sometimes devotees, something would happen and they would say, oh, it's Krishna's mercy, and Srila Prabhupada would say, no, it's your foolishness. So I think this question is similar, that sometimes something bad happens to us and we think, oh, this is Krishna's arrangement to make us better devotees or something like that. But it's really because we weren't actually applying our intelligence to do our service correctly.
Hmm. Yeah, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the devotee considers himself less and less qualified, where he's actually becoming more and more qualified. And there is a distinction made in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when adversities come into one's life, that one should, when they become very heavy, one should not try to correct them, because one should understand that they're destiny. That destiny is the way Krishna is speaking to us. And one has to be able to have a fine enough intelligence to understand when one's made a mistake practically, so one can correct it. And sometimes one makes mistakes sincerely in the process of trying to advance Krishna consciousness movement or enhance one's own Krishna consciousness. And because it's done sincerely, that there's no fault, and one simply has to move on. There's instances in the early days of the Krishna conscious movement, what to speak of early days, middle days, late days, the devotees have made mistakes in different ways. Prabhupada, however, would oftentimes say, what's done is done, now move on, and not take it very seriously. The devotees have to be able to distinguish, was I being whimsical when I did this? Because then one can take it to heart that I was inattentive, I was whimsical, I did something that wasn't sincere, and therefore I made a mistake. Compared to, I was trying to follow very strictly, but I did the wrong thing, I made a mistake, and that's different. So one has to observe one's own internal motives when practicing. And I'll have to get more personal instruction from Hari Vamsa about what he meant from that question when I talk to him. Go premanande aribo. Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman, Natari Marman.